listen to two married lesbians discuss an LGBTQ plus book each month that highlights the queer human condition as they use connection and humor to relate the issues to us as a queer community. She's Anna.
And she's Miranda.
I am. And we're two married lesbians.
We are.
And we're all queer here. And we're back.
We are. So Stars in Their Eyes is suggested for readers ages 12 and up, but it is our firmly held belief, as always, that parents have the final say in what is best reading material for their children. I want to introduce authors Jessica Walton and Ashka. So in the back of the book, which I find is great, and usually very detailed in graphic novels. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read part of it. But Jessica Walton is a queer disabled writer and speaker. They co-wrote an episode of the Australian comedy series Get Cracklin' that focused on disability. And they're also the author of Introducing Teddy, a picture book illustrated by Dougal McPherson.
Cool.
And then Ashka is creative dynamite. She's an award-winning artist and graphic novelist, an ex-quantum physicist.
That's dope.
Yeah, and a big fan of the little doohickey above the S in her name, which is pronounced Ashka. So, love that.
Very cool.
For both of them. So, this is also a Stonewall honor book.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So, which doesn't come around a lot for graphic novels. So, it's one of the reasons I wanted to read it. We're going to come back to the mom because mm-hmm. I love her.
And she might be my favorite character.
Might be. I want to talk a little bit about, or maybe a long time, about this whole meeting somewhere, mm-hmm. YA, mm-hmm. kind of like, in not really in this moment, but like spending a day together, moment.
Like a little fleeting romance.
A fleeting romance.
Only happen in one space at one time.
Right, and like, at a Comic-Con, mm-hmm. which is magical in and of itself.
Yeah.
Discovering each other's favorite fandoms, sharing that. They share.
Learning about new fandoms.
Right. They read a lot together. They're cuddling while they're reading.
That was so
That's
cute.
Like a bibliophile's dream.
Dude, that reminds me of, like, honestly, our first date where we just became a cuddle puzzle while we're just talking about, like, all these different things that we're into.
And music.
And interests in music. And, yeah. I mean, there was less reading.
More talking,
but it was really cool.
But we'd read a lot of the same things, mm-hmm. and the things that we were recommending to each other that we hadn't read, we were kind of making note of.
Yeah.
You know, like adding to my Goodreads account and things.
Yeah.
But I love that, you know, at the end, the mom, you know, they're in the car. I love that they had to drive 10 hours. Who doesn't love a good road trip? Because we're, you know, we're in Texas, so.
And I love that it's in Australia.
We default to road trips.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever read a book where someone went on a road trip in Australia, so that was cool.
She says, sometimes these things only last for that one day and sometimes they last longer. Just remember, if it kind of fades or gets too hard from here for either of you, it doesn't make what happened today any less special or meaningful, sweetheart.
Yeah.
So I think that's so true. You know, I've said for the longest time, I don't know if I've said on here, but like I view, you know, the whole like love story as sometimes they're haikus,
yeah.
sometimes they're poems, sometimes mm-hmm. they're sonnets, sometimes they're an epic poem, sometimes mm-hmm. they're a series of books, sometimes they're this epic saga,
yeah.
you know.
It's the Iliad and the Odyssey. Or,
yeah. All together, yeah. So like, I really think, you know, this was kind of that moment, and it's very, I think, pertinent to today's youth of like, at least from Maisie's point of view, because we see most of it through her point mm-hmm. of view, of maybe not wanting to meet someone, but like wanting to be seen as more than disabled. And we see the pool yeah. scene at the hotel where that lady was like, you're so inspiring. Oh
my
yeah.
gosh.
That was like, I know this is terrible and like, you don't want anyone to ever respond badly. But in my head, I was like, is she going to grab her by the neck and pull her in the water? Like, that's what, you know.
Like, do it.
Do it. Because you know she's got killer upper arm strength. So yeah. I loved that. And then when she meets Ollie, they don't even really acknowledge it until she yeah. kind of like falls on the couch.
Yeah, and then, Ollie was like, oh, are you okay?
Yeah, and didn't realize yeah. it. I mean, and I wouldn't have realized people with artificial legs mm-hmm. would have that amount of pain. So she tells her mom on the way back, she's like, well, there's more pain than I thought from the fall, but she's just trying to save face. And that's, you know, that's so realistic, whether or not you are disabled or not, just hurting yourself in front of someone you're crushing on.
And you're trying to, like, keep things cool.
Oh, it's fine, but you're, like, have internal bleeding. Yeah. That's internal bleeding.
Yeah.
I'm fine. You're at the doctor 12 hours later. Well, we've had to perform emergency surgery. But you're like, but they don't know, right?
Yeah, just don't tell them.
So I think that was, I was pretty on point for me. And also, that was a weird way to say that. That was pretty on point for me. But also seeing a non-binary character.
Yeah, how'd that feel?
It was good in graphic novel form, but also I want to kind of talk a little bit about their appearance, because I think sometimes, and no, obviously no disrespect to graphic novel artists, because I think they're... They have a huge responsibility to get, you know, everything just perfect, because there's, you know, the books feel so short for what you get. And so every, you know, brush stroke is really important.
Yeah. It's more than just the words on the page.
Right, right. They really have to capture that character frame by frame. But what I've seen sometimes with non-binary characters is they lean a little bit more masculine, or they lean a little bit more feminine. And so you just kind of like... The default in your mind, if you're a straight person, sometimes defaults to the normal gender spectrum. And what I liked about Ollie was...
Well, I'd say traditional gender spectrum.
Right, traditional gender spectrum was the kind of ambiguity was there. And I respected that. And I loved seeing their dad, who was just as awkward
their
as the mom.
Their dad was so adorable.
So adorable.
Their dad reminded me of my dad, honestly, quite
a bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, but with dorkier glasses.
I don't know. You missed my dad's 90s phase.
Oh, I've seen photos.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I just wanted to kind of shout out to Ashka, like, for the graphic novelist, illustrator. Like, I just really appreciated the ambiguity there. Because I think, or the androgyny, because I think sometimes non-binary people kind of shoot for that. Because that's, you know, that's where they live. Is the ambiguity between the genders.
And then, of course, non-binary is not a monolith. Like, everybody has different. Kind of
I'm just
unique...
saying, for me, it has been when I've read
graphic
novels. There's like,
it's nice to see something a little different.
You're just thinking normal, traditional gender spectrum, and then somebody says, oh, they, and you're like, oh, okay. But you've already seen them as the other, so it's kind of, you know. So this, I think, was really, like I said, it was a good different. I appreciated it. And I could, I liked that Maisie had kind of just recently come out to her mom and was going to the queer panel. And
and I like that Maisie made like a little friend with the guy sitting next to her
in
the audience. And they're just kind of bonding over like these different things in that way that those sorts of events are perfect for. You'll never meet that person again.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You had a wonderful moment, a great experience. And you have that...
The shared moment with a stranger.
Exactly. You have that living, breathing, shared experience with the whole room. That's why concerts are so powerful. We're all having this collective experience together. And it's heightened by the music or by the fandom.
Unless
or
they're drinking too much and they're rowdy. But aside from that, I mean, just being fair. So...
Geez, yes. I'm trying not to say that one as much. Trying to say, oh, geez.
I wanted to also, so we'll get back to the mom. But at the end, you know, because her mom like falls over a chair, which seems very dramatic. Seems very on point for the mom at that point. You're like, yeah, I buy this. and then they meet the actress that plays in Midnight Girls.
Yes, the actress that has
and signs the shirt Carib. So I can't read the signature at the
end.
Was
it Kara Swisher?
I think it was like Bunyo or something. So no way. How did you get a signed T-shirt? Yeah, and it's like Buy something like that. No, I don't know. I just think it's fantastic. And she's like, I told her about your leg and how much you admire her. So she offered to sign something for you. I already bought this T-shirt, so it worked out perfectly. Like, I just thought, I mean, it's such a well-done story. I kind of wanted a little bit more on the road trip, I guess, both ways. Because I really feel like that's where I really bonded with my parents, is when we took a lot of road trips. And then, because you see a lot of them at the beginning and they get to the hotel. And you see a lot of the Comic-Con. But not a lot on the way back. And like, surely the mom's character would have been like, oh, tell me about Ollie. And then, you know, they were joking about making out. And then the dad walks in on them kissing. And it was not making out. I mean, I feel like making out is like long term, you know, yeah, minutes yeah. long, 10 plus well, minutes.
Technically, it is referred to as snogging, which is like the British, Australian British version of,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't
it
know.
It sounds awful. Snogging? Like, it sounds like scuba diving, but with saliva.
Well, kind of is.
Are you, what? Are there fish involved?
I don't know.
Well, you're have you been scuba diving?
No, no.
So then you don't know.
Okay, fair. One of the things I really enjoyed about the book was playing that fun game of what comic franchise are they talking about while not mentioning it? And you're Doctor Who, oh, Star Trek, oh, Star Wars.
I kind of hated that. I thought they
you didn't like that?
I hated it. I think let me finish.
Okay.
I think they should have just said what it was. Like, why are we figuring this out?
Well, because if you name it and then you draw it, now it
but they
could
didn't
be...
draw it.
Yeah, like when the mom was wearing the outfit.
I just think that's so silly. Like
I know, but like
I know.
That's...
I just say Star Wars. Like just say it. And they were calling like Dade and Sober or something, which Luke and but Luke came out or Duke and Saber or whatever later. Duke or Luke ultimately came out as non-binary, which I get. I believe that. I think especially in Return of the Jedi, like he's got non-binary
that.
Vibes.
Yeah,
definitely. So with the new hair,
I could get down.
I also think because this is by Graphic, which is an imprint of Scholastic. Scholastic is a very powerful company. That if
sounds foreboding.
Yes. So if we if we pressure them, they you know this was a very short. It was like under 200.
Like, hey,
let me finish.
Maybe
do a sequel. Yeah, I'm saying pressure Scholastic Graphic. Like we need a sequel. We need a sequel, because I really feel like I think you know some kids, you know. How they meet people now is very different, whether they meet people from gaming or whatever, and they make those connections.
Mm-hmm.
And I think however people are meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But especially because of today's world, I think having a realistic young couple that has a long distance relationship in graphic novel format, a healthy relationship, could be really powerful. So I am demanding
Stars in Their Eyes too.
Stars in
more
their
stars in
more
their
stars
eyes.
In their eyes. Yeah. Or stars in their eyes also. I don't know. Like whatever's not taken.
Yeah.
But I just I know I love it as it is, and I want to be clear on that. Like I love this as a unit.
I just wanted
more.
Yeah. I love Macy's shirt too. The future is accessible.
That is also mentioned in their bio. Would you like me to read?
Please.
She thanks Thank you to disabled activist and content creator Annie Segarra, designer of the Future is Accessible shirts. Your slogan makes me smile every day, and I'm so delighted Maisie gets to wear it too.
That's awesome.
So I want to highlight that. But again, we need to like pivot and be like, we need a sequel.
Pivot.
We need a sequel.
Yeah.
Or like kind of like some of the authors in like my childhood where they wrote a second book, had nothing to do with the first couple. But then the couple, like, they ran into them or they were, like, friends of a friend.
Oh, it's like an expanded universe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would have wanted to see them, like, oh, well, they were, you know, long distance for 2 years and then their parents moved or whatever. Let's talk now about the mom. This is
okay. The mom was one of my favorites.
Let me look at my notes. The mom. I'm so her.
Yes.
Okay. I just, the commenting to the poking and the product, the pills, reminding them to take the pills. I remind our kid to take his pills all the time.
Yeah.
The energy, the hair.
Yes.
I don't know that I've always wanted to have pink hair. I don't know that I can pull it off.
You could pull it off.
My hair grows really fast. Like the
roots
grow fast. No,
that's the bummer about
it. Yeah,
it is
the bummer.
Is you're constantly treating your hair.
Yeah. And the whole naming of the cars, like,
you've always been a car namer.
Always been a car namer. Like, it from page, like, point one, I was, like, in on this. And then, like, what are we ordering for dinner? Like, this whole thing. It was me from the beginning. So I just want to.
It's always been you.
Yeah. And then they talked about Danger Things, which is obviously Stranger Things, the Demogorgon, which was now that I've been inundated with that.
Our kid finally talked you into watching that.
A little bit. But aside from the mom being straight, you know, I just really resonated.
Well, but we don't know that.
Well, aside from a seemingly straight.
Yeah, she could be bisexual.
But
she could
the,
be, like,
the parents bond, Ollie's dad and Maisie's mom bond.
Yeah.
And, on page 118, again, this was sadly too short of a book. They're like, should we always bring a banana to a party? Bye, kiddos. Meet you at Fantasy Queers. Got it. Like, What would that be like if they got together? Like if one of them ended up moving with 10 yeah. hours in Texas, that could still be in Texas. But, you know, in Australia, who knows? I mean, maybe because that's a whole continent to itself. So that's probably still within Australia because you can't drive in water. So do you think, say one of them moves, doesn't matter which one.
Yeah.
What happens? So the kids have the relationship. What happens if the parents?
Yeah, that's tango? A tough one. Cause I've told you this before, but I had it's like a friend of the family growing up. Well, I was like more in high school or whatever. But anyway,
I love a good friend of the family story.
Friend of the family.
It's not directly. You're not directly involved, but you mm-hmm. can tell all their teeth.
You're close enough. You're like, I know everything.
Anyway, I'm not ashamed to tell it.
Yeah, I have no horse in this race. But anyway, like I loved the mom. She's great. And the dad and I were...
I was thinking of the book. Sorry. You knew the mom and the real story. Sorry.
In real life, in my life. Mm-hmm. And I loved her. She was great. And it was through a really difficult time in my life where I was really sick. And so I would go and hang out over at their house a lot of days on and off because, you know, it just... I had a very sad existence for quite a few years when I was really sick. And so it was kind of a lifesaver in a lot of ways because I could get that interaction, that social interaction and stuff. And her husband was disabled. And so he was a stay-at-home dad. And anyway, unbeknownst to everyone, he had a traumatic brain injury that he didn't tell anybody about. And like all this drama happened later. But the point of the story is this. Those two were married and they had a yours, mine, and ours family where like they each had kids from a previous marriage. Mm-hmm. So while they were still married and their two kids who were step siblings to each other, relative.
So they were married.
Mom and dad were married. Right. The two stepchildren,
a boy and a girl,
started to develop feelings for each other.
What age was this? Like
teenagers.
Okay. When things start to, you wander, yes, well, we're not really yes. related, don't touch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, they start having feelings for each other, and I
again,
can't...
they're teens.
Yeah.
So that...
And anyway, I can't remember if it was before or after their parents got a divorce, but those two end up, the two kids, the step siblings, end up getting married to each other. And they were married for years. And ultimately, they got divorced, too. But I was just like, and I loved this family. And I just had such a hard time processing that whole deal. Mm-hmm. And it was always treated as this very normal thing that everybody was fine with. And to
but
me...
the siblings were...
It was so
were together.
Weird. Yes.
That's like an ABC family drama, yeah. You know, when I think about that, I was laughing when we went to get our marriage license because... Mm-hmm. Because
that's funny.
Well, it I've is, never... Yeah. Hush it. I've never gotten one before.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, just taking it in.
Didn't and really know what to expect.
Didn't know what to expect. Was sure. like, you're going to ask me questions, okay. Didn't ask for my credit score. That was nice. Or my social. Mm-hmm. But was
no,
like...
No, I think we had to write our socials.
We had to write it. She didn't ask me to quote it.
Ah, perfect.
And so she was like, one of the questions was, are you related? And I was like, no. And then, that's the first. And then the second question was, are you step siblings? And I was like, again, no. And then I was, I was oddly disturbed when we get through this process, we get our certificate, we leave, or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, why do they ask those questions? And now I know.
Yeah, now you know, because it happens.
It happens. And so I just, when you say, like, I don't know if they were divorced or not, I'm going to say they probably weren't divorced. And because here's the thing, that's just, she's going, it's not word of mouth. It is like, she's taking my word for it. No, we're not related. She's taking my word for it.
I mean, to like, be fair, we weren't procreating.
Should we 23andMe? Should we 23andMe?
23andMe?
Should we do that? I mean, To be fair, with
but
all...
But dude, that's happened to people.
I know. I've seen that every other...
Yeah, they're like, and all these lesbians. We were about to get married, and then we found out we're cousins. Mm-hmm. What? Pardon?
It's like, this is not just an old episode of Grey's Anatomy. Died. This is real.
Oh, wait, my grandpa died. It's... Wait, say your grandpa's name on the count of three.
One, two, three.
One, two, three.
Joe. Joe. Oh! It's like, it's not just an old episode of Grey's Anatomy. Like, it is true. Yeah. And so...
Happens to real people.
The fact that they take
with real feelings
your word as the truth is like, scary.
Here's the deal.
They need to test
people.
Know,
if you know you are related.
Because the 90s and all those unmarried lesbians that were just shoving sperm up their you know there are siblings out there married having kids with like 17
that's
toes.
That's a whole issue where there was a sperm donor. That, I mean, very high donation levels. And had so many children that had no idea. Because that's one of the
They're
issues
supposed
with
to
sperm
limit
banks.
That, yeah.
Yeah, is like, you
well,
don't know.
Well, if it sells, I'm like, well, maybe stop taking the donation. Well,
yeah, maybe could we just have some like, coding? Like, oh, by the way, you're an A, so don't date anyone who's an A. But, like, seriously.
How do you code humans?
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm just trying to think
freaky.
Of a solution.
I'm but telling you, the solution is to get tested.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because
just
the
like,
other
oh,
side
you have
it,
herpes? I don't ever want herpes.
Pass. But, no.
Yeah,
what,
I'm not
what
marrying you. How do I not have it yet? Can we test for this?
Yeah. But, no, my point was asking the question. I understand why there's a checkbox because they can legally say, we double-checked.
No,
and
there
so
was no checkbook.
Legally,
oh, the
yeah,
sperm
they
check
ask and we
I was
say,
say this,
no, I'm saying they ask, are you related? We say no.
But the marriage license they asked, I was like, no, but
yeah,
like,
but here's the deal. If you don't know, that doesn't help you. And if you know and you're there trying to get a marriage license, you're going to lie.
But you still get it. So what's
exactly,
the point?
That's my point.
Like
the
you and I could be
pointless.
Kissing cousins and be
the,
like,
the
well,
the checkbox is pointless.
It's disturbing.
Because you're either unknowingly.
I didn't check a box. I said no.
Or
I think it's also the
line.
Response, like, no, we're not related. But mom was like, what? No. I mean, do you recall? I was very
yeah, it was,
like.
It was amusing.
I would
you were
say
like,
I was,
what?
I don't think I was disturbed. I think I was just like bothered. Like, oh, this is mortifying. Like no, we're not related.
Well, because the reason the question's there is because it's happened.
Well, I know some people that aren't related that shouldn't have procreated, so but then
well,
we stop with them.
We've all
know,
seen that.
Like having multiples, you know.
And you're like, but you're not taking care of any of them.
Yeah, and you it's are terrible. I want to shift gears to a less awkward thing about how Maisie talks about, and also Ollie kind of reinforces that representation matters.
Mm-hmm.
So Maisie says that when she starts watching The Midnight Girls that she starts liking and loving who she is. And I think it's important when we talk about representation that it's more than just like a side character. I think it's important to have it as the main character.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, especially again as a child of the 90s, a lot of the diversity was in the background characters.
Yeah, like
not even necessarily the best
to
friend.
Support.
Yeah, the main
the
white
main
hetero
person, yep,
person
yep,
you know.
Yep. And then like sometimes either, oh, we're showing how wonderful the main character is because they're helping the disabled person, or the disabled person dies so that the main character can like move forward
flourish
with the plot. And it's like those all of that is gross.
But I think we're seeing the very like 180 opposite
that
nowadays.
That we're finally moving past that.
Where we have...
Well, not enough, but we're making
not
progress.
No, we have some. We have some characters that are main characters and are like queer and disabled or, you know, we're seeing this emergence of neurodivergent characters, especially in middle grade and young adult fiction. I honestly think there needs to be more in adult fiction because neurodivergent people are everywhere and of every age. But I really think, you know, when we started in the middle grade and the young adult fiction, that will carry over when they grow up. So, I mean, you just can't, I guess if you have a demographic that hasn't been talked about or written about a lot, you can't just like put it everywhere because people are like, wait, what is this? You kind of have to like slowly integrate it and be like, look, this is part of our new normal. Like, look at this neurodivergent
person. Look at the people that have always been here.
And you're now seeing
them. You haven't known about it.
And they've been on they've been on the background, or they've been brought a little to the forefront. Or they've been referred to
in derogatory ways.
Exactly. Or they reference that and, like, how that's not okay to say things like the R word and things like that. And, you know, especially nowadays with the whole spectrum of autism, like, we're really seeing a lot of, not just TV series, but fiction come out of that as the different levels of autism and how they see the world and how they interact with just challenges of life that everybody has.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, the conversation around queerness and disability is so important because there are so many things that are aspects of, like, queer culture, and I'm using quotation marks. It's done work.
Terrible
on the
finger marks. They're bunny ears.
Bunny ears that are at a rave.
Do you have a cramp yet? I mean, I'm just watching this. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but anyway, my point is that a lot of times that we will collectively, as queer folks, refer to certain queer experiences, queer culture, that are very exclusionary when it comes to folks with disabilities. Like, for instance, any of the queer culture that surrounds bars. Bars are one of the worst offenders at being compliant in a usable way, compliant with, like, wheelchair access or even just, you know, access for someone who, you know, maybe they have to use a cane or a crutch or they're unsteady on their feet. Like, those sorts of experiences are very difficult to do. I was listening to a podcast a while back and they were talking about how, oh, hey, let's say you have a group of friends. Like, this was a specific person who was wheelchair bound and had several friends that were also in wheelchairs. And they're like, yeah, let's get a group together. We all want to go out. And they'd made this plan. But then when they had figured out, like, the bus route and everything, each bus could only hold one wheelchair.
Well, that's problematic.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I can understand why a bus manufacturer, I don't know, but somebody wouldn't.
Developer? I don't know. Designer? Either. Surely
designer?
Not.
I don't know. But anyway, I can understand why they wouldn't necessarily assume four people in wheelchairs are going to get on at once. But it feels like to me you could be like, hey, maybe more than one will. Like, more than one person might have a wheelchair. What if you're a family?
Or a big city.
A big city. Oh, sorry, I'll catch the next one. And then, like, if the bus is full and a bunch of people are in the way, because, like, the buses that I've been on, it's like a seat that folds up, and then the wheelchair, that's the one place where a wheelchair can go. Because it has to, like, lock in the wheels for safety, right? So if the bus is full and everybody's sitting there, well, now the person in the wheelchair can't get on. So even if there was room for one more person to stand, there's not room for a person in a wheelchair to get on. Mm. And so it's like, it's so problematic to think about, like, all these experiences that we think of, quote unquote, as queer culture, and that they aren't necessarily as inclusive as we first think about. So I just thought that was a really interesting glimpse. Because, like,
challenges your thinking and to find a way to maybe ask about accessibility and things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things that for the person that's in the wheelchair, you know, if there are too many roadblocks, they're not going to, the burden shouldn't be on them to push their friends to say, Hey, can we check about accessibility here? Because I can't.
Yeah, it should be on everybody else who's not seeing it.
I'd be like, oh, wow, I never thought about that. And if you don't know, Google exists.
Yeah.
I mean, Google it.
So, rating in rainbows for this book?
Ah, okay.
I give it 4.5.
Okay.
I wanted more. I wanted to maybe see them, because they talked about having this thing exists as a phone. But maybe, like, 6 months later and they're texting.
That would have been a fun little snapshot at the end or something.
I needed an epilogue and I didn't get one. And okay. So when it ended, there was...
Although, to be fair...
There were some words that are not appropriate to repeat.
Okay.
I wanted more. Like, I think... I know I sometimes give lower ratings because of that. But I think that's the highest compliment of, like, this...
The highest compliment is me giving you a worse score.
But, like, I did want more in this. I think I wanted to see maybe Ollie's dad interact with the mom, like, after the con. I just kind of wanted more of, like, he's just kind of walking and she's walking and they turn to look at each other.
Yeah.
And it was just a little sad for me.
Are you talking about the dad and the mom?
No, I'm talking about Ollie and
Macy. Oh, so they look and she looks.
Yeah, and then they kind of just wander away from each other. And so...
Well, but I think that's kind of, it encapsulates what, okay.
More stars in their eyes.
More stars in their eyes. Stars in their ears.
Ask them. Scholastic can do it. They can green light this.
Pass it along.
How about you? Your rating?
I thought it was cute. I enjoyed it. I think I'm probably 4.5 as well.
Oh, you always take my rating.
I'm so sorry. I'll give it
What's
back.
What's your justification? No, don't give it back.
I don't know. It was lovely. It was cute. It was endearing. I wanted a little bit more out of it as far as depth, I think. I would have loved to have gotten to hear them talk about slightly deeper things, but also maybe that's a little unfair with the time frame given.
I think too, because it's a Scholastic read and it kind of skews 12 and up, it's going to be very timid.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'd rather it exist.
Right, I would definitely. I'm just saying, like, the fact that it's a non-binary character that's
and a bisexual character.
Right, non-binary specifically for middle school.
There are like, there are already middle school grade books that have bisexual characters.
Yes,
but like, not many
that
are non-binary.
Exactly. So the fact that they're, you know, suggesting it that's been reviewed for 12 and up is really huge.
That's awesome. I like that context. Well, until next time.
We're all queer here.
Absolutely.